Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen had to step out to go water some fire hydrants. But they're back now on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us on the line a first-time guest. It's Kevin Baker, who is the owner of Baker's Wildlife Services. And Kevin has been in business since 1994. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Kevin, can you describe exactly what it is that you do with your company? I mean, when someone hears wildlife services, what should they understand that to mean?
Well, I resolve conflicts between humans and wildlife. Basically, if it's invading your home, your property, and causing you potential damage or distress, I remove animals, and then we look at getting repairs done and any other preventative measures so that hopefully it won't happen again.
And is that, for example, well, go ahead.
For example, bats in your attic, raccoon in your chimney, skunk under the deck, a groundhog under the shed. Any problems that happen to homeowners with wildlife is what I do.
Is there one when you get that call, you're like, I hope this is the only one call I have to go out to do it, but I might be back?
Occasionally, I'll have an animal that I can remove in one visit. It doesn't happen all that often. It has to be a confined animal. I get many calls for possums in garages or skunks that fall into window wells.
Uh-huh.
The other jobs are going to take an inspection and then a removal process where if I am setting traps, I check the traps daily. And once we remove the potential offending animal, we've got to prove that there are no more animals, so there's always follow-up afterwards. That would be monitoring the entry hole to see if there's any more animals using it. And then we need to get repairs done. So it's not an ordinary process.
Well, I'm going to bring up one personal
go ahead, Rick.
You have a radio show, right? You have it for like over 10 years. There's a certain degree of like privilege that you get, and so sometimes you just want to like be selfish and say, okay, I've got a serious squirrel problem, so I want to learn more about that problem. So let's talk a little bit about squirrels. Can we talk about squirrels?
Yeah.
All right. So tell me what you know about I think I have red squirrels. How much of a problem are those little buggers?
They're a big problem. I'm going on 28 years now of doing this work. I've removed more red squirrels from homes than any other animal.
And
I refer to them as the Tasmanian devils of Michigan.
Well, I've seen a few of these in my living room. I've had a couple, and they definitely run wild. And wild is an understatement. They seem to be rather excited about humans being in the same home as theirs.
They have an attitude.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So, how small of a hole can a squirrel get into if it's a red squirrel?
About the size of a golf ball.
Wow. Well, that's a problem. Is it usually in the roof lines? Is it usually around the base of the house? Or is it just anywhere possible?
Usually it's up on the roof line.
Okay.
On the roof, in the soffit areas. They can enter they can enter at ground level. But typically, and this is so rock solid with me, when I talk to the customer, if the noises that are heard in the attic, that's a sign that the entry is up high on the roof somewhere.
Right.
And what I would do in your case, Rick, is I would begin with a complete inspection on the exterior of your home, and my goal is to find the entry hole.
Okay.
And when I I don't stop there. I've got to inspect the whole home, the whole house, because they may have an entry elsewhere. And typically what I'll do is get a trap set right outside that entry. And as I said, I check my traps every day. We're going to catch the animals as they're coming or going, and then we need to prove whether anything more is using that entry. And honestly, this is very simple to do, and I'd recommend this to any homeowners who would think about closing a hole on their house, which was created by an animal. You don't want to trap an animal inside. So what I do is simply stuff it with a plastic bag, semi-firmly, so it doesn't blow out of place, and watch it for the next 2 to 5 days. 9 months out of the year in the good weather, 2 days is the rule of thumb I've always followed. And if the patch hasn't been moved in 2 days, then I'll patch the hole. This time of year, particularly next week with the weather we're heading into, I'm not going to be doing any repairs. We've got to have warmer weather, and that would be daytimes of roughly 20, 25 degrees or higher. During this cold spell, you know, it's just, this is why they store food, just so they can sit in there and eat, and they don't have to go out every day.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as their desire for water will overtake them, and that's the process that we go through. We've got to find the entry holes, remove the offending animals, prove there are no more animals, and then get repairs done. And I can tell you this, in all of my Red Squirrel jobs, there always seems to be branch access to the roof. So one of the recommendations I leave people with is trim your trees back in the house.
So they can't get in there.
Yeah. I could see where that would be the case. Now, Kevin, in addition to squirrels, I remember a couple of years ago, you and I had a conversation, and you were telling me at the time the skunk population was really starting to become an issue. Is that still the case, and what the heck caused all of that? Was there a Pepe Le Pew marathon, and everyone got all randy as a result of that? I mean, what would have caused such an increase in the number of skunks?
Natural population fluctuations, as well as their ability to adapt to the advantages that we offer to them.
Mm-hmm.
The skunk population is really high everywhere. My basic work area is Okemos to Grand Ledge, and there's skunks everywhere. And by the way, we're going to have high activity of skunks on the latter half of February and first part of March due to their breeding activity. So there will be skunk odor in the air. But this happens with all animals. It's the same explanation for the high population of deer in Okemos and East Lansing areas. It's the animals naturally have their population cycles. And what can really boost it is having a few warm winters, mild winters in a row, so that there's more or less infant mortality.
You know, I would think even in urban areas, there's probably a lot more shelter, if you will, a lot more protection from that cold element.
That's why they're here. We offer them more opportunity for food and shelter. You know, to get it down to its basic level, it's all about food, water, and shelter. And by creating the neighborhoods and the environments we have, there's much more opportunity for food and shelter acre for acre compared to the woods in northern Michigan. And you will find that there is actually more wildlife in our neighborhoods of a lot of species, not all species, but there's a lot more wildlife in our neighborhoods than there is out in the woods and in the countryside.
Certainly any of those species that actually figured it out, you know, figured out, hey, you know what, I can live next to that person because, you know, food resources are there. Probably the skunk idea.
Well,
you know?
And
they figured out, and nobody's going to mess with a skunk. They're amazing. Nobody messes with them. They just run the other direction.
Right, and there is a reason why raccoons have been called trash pandas.
Oh my God, I got to tell you a story. I was walking through Grand Ledge, And just walking down the sidewalk, I hadn't been in Grand Ledge actually ever. That was my first kind of walk through, and there's a lot of really nice homes. And I'm walking by this one home, must have been a little older, and needed some roof work evidently. And I just noticed, you know, off to the side, popping his head out of a hole on the top of the roof. And I'm like, that can't be good. I imagine there's a few particularly rough stories about raccoons and what damage they can do, because I would have to assume that all the animals that you care for, what probably causes the most damage, like real damage, would be raccoons. Am I wrong?
No, but they're closely followed by squirrels.
Okay. Well, and I'm just thinking that the amount of crap that a raccoon puts out, that when it does get into a home situation, that it can be quite a mess.
That can be an issue. Now, I do a lot of work with raccoons in attics. And guess what? It's a rare, very rare occurrence when the attic is loaded up with feces. And that comes down to this. Animals don't want to have a toilet where they live.
Sure. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Kevin, we need to take a quick break if we can, and we'll come back to this story right in a minute here on 1320 WILS.